Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, the second day of August 2012. Hope you are having a good day. The home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We are streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post the program to three different websites, including my website, buckmastershow.com, TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com all have the show for you for your anytime listening pleasure. We are live noon to one each weekday. We'll kick things off with Terry Bracey. Mr. Bracey, the Buckmaster Show contributor from Washington, D.C., 20 minutes past the hour. We welcome Republican congressional candidate in District 3, Gabby Mercer, will be with us. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll spotlight District 10, the state legislative candidate, Republican Todd Clodfelter. And then we'll close out the show talking about, 363 new laws taking effect in Arizona. This is when you need an attorney, and we luckily have one here on the Buckmaster Show. Our legal contributor, Don Luce, will break down the highlights. We encourage you to join our conversation anytime. The Buckmaster Show live line is officially declared open right now, 790-2040. We are also monitoring the Buckmaster Show Facebook page after hitting today 2,300 friends of the show. While the Bush-era tax rates are due to expire at the end of the year, will there be an extension, and if so, in what form? Those are the questions that lawmakers are trying to come to terms with. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from the nation's capital is Terry Bracey. Terry is the Buckmaster Show contributor on governmental affairs. Terry is continuing to enjoy what by now is a 40-year career in D.C., where he has been privileged to serve under three presidents of both parties in assignments ranging from Assistant Secretary of Transportation to the founding chair of the Tucson-based Udall Foundation. His firm, Bracey Tucker Brown and Valenzano, has represented the city of Tucson for 30 years. Terry, how are you today?
Just great, Bill. Just absolutely great.
Well, you know, this whole tax, the tax argument, both sides of the aisle have their particular viewpoint. The Republicans want a complete extension of the Bush-era tax cuts, while the Democrats are willing to extend the cuts for those making $250 or less, while raising the tax rate roughly 3% on those earning more. Terry, how are we doing in efforts to find a compromise?
Well, it's moving. We're still posturing. Last week, the Senate passed by a 51-45 margin a tax bill which essentially reflected the Democratic point of view. Hello?
Yes, Terry, you're still with us.
Sorry, Bill.
That's okay.
The Democratic point of view, which was $250,000, became sort of the defining line of the middle class. Above that, your tax rates would move up 3%. Below that, you would pretty much stick with what you've got. The Republicans allowed that bill to come to the floor, which I thought was very interesting strategy on the part of Senator McConnell, their leader. They could have blocked it. Would have taken 60 votes, but I think quite wisely that was that. They went through on a Democratic vote, but he knew the secret was that nothing is really valid, that no tax bill is really valid unless it originates in the House, which is a constitutional matter. This week, the House is working on its own version, which will look just like the Republican version, which you described. And at the end of the day, what we're really talking about is trying to recover $120 billion a year in savings or tax increases. And that's what the posturing is about. Now, are they going to get somewhere? And I think yes. I think right now, as we're speaking, the Senate Finance Committee is doing a second tax bill which has what they call the tax extenders. These are the generally agreed to bipartisan kind of tax provisions, a provision to prevent the alternative minimum tax from hitting lower income taxpayers, to extend the wind energy, and things like that that have bipartisan support. So that's a signal to me that the Democrats know their bill that they passed is going nowhere, and this is a second bill which they're going to send over to the House and probably will be accepted.
This
so we'll get a limited agreement bill before the election.
This is enormously important, Terry Bracey. And in the big picture, this issue is crucial because of this, what has been called the fiscal cliff that we are approaching that would cause sequestration. What is sequestration?
Well, the fiscal cliff is this. It's a question of how are we going to find the revenue that starts to turn around the fiscal kind of situation we're in. And Congress last year decided that they were going to have to force themselves to do it, in effect. And what they did was they said, all right, we'll either come to a deal or we will have an across-the-board cut known as a sequestration of 10% or more. And that is just, you know, something that can't be sustained in a federal budget. And, excuse me, I've got more phones ringing than I own. It always happens when I go on your show.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. You're a busy man.
But in any event, what we're going to face here come January is either a deal will be struck between the two parties, or we're going to have to take a 10% across-the-board cut in defense and non-defense. What does that mean for Tucson? Well, it means unless taxes are raised to some extent and savings are found and an agreement is reached, it means that there are going to be fewer jobs at Davis-Monthan. There may be fewer jobs at Raytheon. There will be all kinds of impacts on public employment. And it's what they call the fiscal cliff. We'll walk right off a fiscal cliff because of our inability to compromise.
Now, what do
so
you,
that would be a real tragedy, Bill.
What do you think the chances of that happening are?
I think they've got to find a compromise, and I think they will. I just think that there's so many ways to solve this problem. And, you know, President George Bush Sr. led an effort in the early 90s to do the same thing. We had to adjust Social Security at that time. We had to adjust Medicare. We had to make some cuts. And really, the actions that were taken during that period, the bipartisan actions that were taken, and which really cost President Bush his reelection, this is President Bush 1, and set up the economy for President Clinton, that was all done, you know, with a little bit of political courage. And it cost people some elections. But you know what? The country's more important than an election.
Terry Bracey is with us. Terry is the Buckmaster Show contributor from D.C., and he talks about governmental affairs once a month with us. Terry, I think it was really important. I think it was a positive sign in the move, the step toward compromise that Republican and Democratic leaders said on Tuesday that they have agreed to extend the current government funding levels at least through the first 6 months of the fiscal year that begins for the federal government anyway on October the 1st, thus avoiding the prospect of a pitched budget battle shortly before the election. Did you see this also as a very good sign?
I did, and I saw it as a sign of maturity of this Congress. You know, they went through this exercise one more when we had the supposed extension of the debt limit, and we went through this terrible drama in front of the entire world where we were literally threatening not to pay our debt, which we would, of course, pay a horrible price for. And I think they learned a lesson from that. And the leaders decided, let's not walk up to this deadline again. Let's get an agreement that gets us by the elections let's get a debt extension agreement and agree to it, and let's put that aside so the markets will know. Shelley will be happy.
Yes,
the markets
Shelley.
Will know that what's going to happen in terms of federal funding anyway. So all of that, there are a lot of really a lot of hopeful signs. Maybe I'm just an optimist, but I see a lot of hopeful signs.
Well,
I see lessons being learned, and I have some hope that we'll get a deal and avoid this tragedy that would be caused by a sequestration.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up Shelley. He was here, as you know, that day that this came down on Tuesday, and he said this was a really big deal for the markets, and it may offset some of the bad news, Terry Bracey, that's been coming in about third quarter profits. So maybe that will help things on the market.
Well, and you know, Bill Bradley made a really good point recently in his book that was quoted several times this morning. I was listening to public radio. And that is that U.S. corporations, earnings aside, are now in possession of approximately $2 trillion unspent dollars. And if some confidence were to start to, appear, and they were to spend, say, half of that money, the unemployment rate in this country would be 5%.
Terry, we're going to have to run, and we do appreciate your visits with us. We will see you in early September. Terry, have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lim and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Remember when you used to make mud pies when you were a kid? Here's your opportunity to get down to earth again and have some fun. Come join us for the Silver City Clay Festival, August 3rd through 5th, in unique, beautiful, historic Silver City, New Mexico. This three-day celebration offers exhibits, 14 fabulous workshops, youth activities, films, and all sorts of mud fun. Everyone is getting in on the clay action. Downtown restaurants, bars, musicians, and more. Also available are free lectures, tours, and clay demonstrations. Two juried events are taking place, an art tile show and a neo-numbreño competition. Don't miss the gala opening event at WNMU. For more information or to sign up for workshops, go to clayfestival.com or email info@clayfestival.com or call 575-538-5560. Come have fun and play in the mud with us. See you there.
Now we continue on the Buckmaster Show with our candidate interview series. Today we are spotlighting Gabriela Saucedo Mercer, also known as Gabby Mercer, a Republican who is facing Jaime Vasquez, a general contractor and owner of a steel fabrication company, in the primary to determine who will face off against Congressman Raul Grijalva or two other Democratic challengers in the newly created Congressional District Number 3. Number 3 remains a Democratic stronghold with 43% of the voters registered Democrats, just 22% Republicans. Gabby Mercer joins us now on the Buckmaster Show in studio. Gabby, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, you have been running since March, year before. Well, we're talking about a year and a half.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's been – you got out there real early. Why did you think – was it to build up – you needed to build name recognition right out of the get-go?
Exactly. Yes, I was an unknown person except for going in front of the city council and challenging them on wanting to sue the state over a Senate bill. And I needed to get my name out there, so I started early.
Why did you decide to get into politics?
Well, when 2008, when a man by the name of Barack Hussein Obama was elected as our president, a man that nobody had vetted, a man that went around the world apologizing for the United States. I am a legal immigrant to this country, and I chose to become an American. And I just couldn't understand how the president of the United States was doing such things. It just it got me. Something inside of me just revolted and said, if I need to get involved, if I want to make sure that my representatives are going to be honest and people that I can trust.
You do have an uphill battle as far as registration in the district. How have you been received, not only from the Republicans, but registered Democrats as well?
Well, the district, I think the numbers are 113,000 Democrats, 60,000 Republicans, and 93,000 independents.
So there's a huge number of independents.
Yeah, it is a huge number. But if you remember on the last election cycle, the incumbent almost lost. And so it is doable. People are still very upset with him because of the economic boycott that he called against Arizona, hurting the people in the district the most. And people want real change. People want to see a representative that really listens to them and is going to go to Washington and fight for them, for their interest.
It's a very poor district, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's unemployment in part of the district is Yuma. Unemployment in Yuma is 28%.
Highest in the state, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. And then followed by Nogales, which is 14%. And then in Tucson, you know, we are actually above the national, which is 9%, I believe. And people are looking at those numbers and they say, what's going on? We need jobs. We need to get, get better representation. As a congressman, I believe that you are an ambassador and you are supposed to fight for your district and be able to attract job creators to your state. And the incumbent hasn't done it.
Republican Gabby Mercer is with us here on the Buckmaster Show. Gabby is running for Congress in District 3, and she will face – well, first of all, she has to get by her primary. If she wins the primary, she will face either Raul Grijalva, the incumbent, or two of the Democratic challengers. Other than the boycott that that Mr. Grijalva spearheaded, what other things do you take issue with him on?
The issue of immigration. You know, as a legal immigrant myself, I appreciate the process that that anybody has to go through, because if you are coming to this country not just to work, but if you want to become an American, you have to go through the process and integrate into the society, become an American, not be separated by, you know, I don't hyphenate my name and I don't hyphenate my nationality. I am an American of Mexican descent, and I'm proud of that. And it has nothing to do with my culture. I love my culture. It's deeply rooted in my heart. I drive my husband crazy. he says, you can take the girl out of Mexico, but you cannot take Mexico out of the world, the girl. And it has nothing to do with that. So immigration is a huge issue. Grijalva has just paid lip service to that issue. He has been in Congress for 10 years. He has not introduced any bills to change, you know, we call it reform or whatever you want to call it. He has done nothing to fix the problem of immigration. And I'm talking about legal and illegal immigration.
Can you give us your fix on immigration?
Well,
what's your bottom line on that?
It's not an easy fix. The number one thing before we can even talk about DREAM Acts or amnesty, we have to secure the border. We have to. That's the number one thing. We cannot – I mean, there's so many cases. There's I hear that there's warehouses full of paperwork of people that are waiting, you know, in the process of getting their status fixed. To be in this country, some people that have gone through the process and still they cannot fix it. And I'm not talking about illegals. I'm talking about people that have had applied the right way, and the system is broken. We need to look at it is a humongous the word just escapes my my brain. It's a huge bureaucracy, and it needs to be fixed. We need to stop talking about it. We need to fix the problem. I understand that, you know, there are many different cases, but people keep talking about it but doing nothing about it.
How is the funding going for you? It's enormously expensive, as you know, to run for Congress. How has that been for you?
We have raised a pretty good amount of money. Not as much as I was told I needed to raise to defeat the incumbent. It is good for me to that he's being challenged, because he will spend money running against those people, and so he'll have less money to go against me. But it is going good. One of the things that I'm not very comfortable is calling people and asking for money, but I know it's a necessary thing, and I've been biting my tongue and calling people asking for $25 or $1,000.
Where can people get more information about you?
They can visit my website. It's saucedomercer.com, or the easy one is gabbyforcongress.org.
And you will be out, I'm sure, and have been over the last year and a half, speaking to any group that would like to hear from you, correct?
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
Keep a pretty full calendar, don't you?
Yes.
It's a full-time job. I mean, you were a soccer mom at one time, and now you're a running for Congress
yes.
mom who's
yes.
spending most of her time out on the campaign trail.
Yes, and life doesn't stop. I mean, family life is still very active.
Gabby Mercer, good luck to you, and we will talk to you as the campaign progresses. Thanks a lot
Thank
for
you,
being
Bill.
With us.
Thank you so much.
Coming up now on 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show, we have another political interview coming up. We will be talking with Todd Clodfelter. He's the GOP chair of the current LD30, and he is running as a Republican in District 10 for the State House of Representatives as we continue with the Thursday edition of Buckmaster.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. She's known as the Flying Squirrel, but now Gabby Douglas will also be known as an Olympic champion. 2 days after she and her teammates captured the team gold medal in gymnastics, Douglas has won the women's all-around title in London. Mitt Romney says President Obama's economic policies have failed, and he's promising to create 12 million jobs in his first 4 years in office. Senate Democrats have defeated a Republican effort to force defense contractors to send out notices of possible layoffs just 4 days before the November election. Federal officials say they're investigating what happened when three commuter jets flew too close to each other near Washington the other day. They say none of the three planes ever were on a collision course. The Dow down about 124 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Big weekend planned over in Silver City, which is only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. They are having the first ever celebration of, well, pottery. It's called the Love of Clay Festival. Starts tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. Should be a lot of fun over in Silver City. The weather is great over there. Occasional thunderstorms, cool evenings, mild days, lots to do. You can go hiking in the Gila National Wilderness Forest. There's also a lot of accommodations, including Gila Hot Springs Ranch, Bear Creek Cabins, and Manzano's RV Park. For more information about Silver City, log on to southwestnewmexico.org. And we continue now with our candidate series. We've been talking with the Democratic candidates running, the three candidates running for the House of Representatives in District 10, which runs from Campbell Avenue in Tucson between Speedway and 22nd, opens up to the east, including the Sabino Canyon and Tancredi areas. There are three Democrats, Brandon Patrick, Stephanie Mock, were with us on the show earlier this week. We'll talk with Representative Bruce Wheeler next week on the Buckmaster Show. Those two top vote-getters of the three Democratic candidates will face off against two Republicans, State Representative Ted Vogt and Todd Clodfelter. He's the GOP chair of the current LD30. Todd, how are you today?
I'm well, Bill. Thanks for having me today.
Tell me a little bit about your background. You've been in business, small businessman, for I think over three decades, haven't you?
That's correct. I've been a Tucson resident, greater Tucson resident, for over 40 years and a small business owner operator for over 30 here in the greater Tucson area.
And this time you really wanted to take the plunge in politics.
Yeah, I did. I've been working with the Republican Party for a few years now as the chairman for the Republican Party Legislative District 30. And at 1995, some people might remember that I ran for city council as well. And that was less than effective. But I'm back into the mix and ready to get after it again.
How are you framing this campaign, Todd?
We're trying to maintain a direction that the state has begun to take because of the activities of the current legislature. We don't need to change a whole lot. We just need to maintain the direction we're going. We've brought new jobs to Arizona. In fact, I believe Arizona has gone now from 8th to 5th when it comes to new job creation in the nation. So we're on the right path. We've got extra money in the rainy day fund. They've got a balanced budget, and they've got a plan for a balanced budget for the next 3 years. So we're on the right track, and I think that just needs to be maintained.
The spending picture certainly does look better, and the Democrats are saying, well, at what cost? It's been balanced, that budget, on the backs of social service programs.
I don't believe that's entirely true. There have been cuts, but there have been cuts all the way across the board. It's not relegated to any one group or other group. It's just straight cuts. And if you look at some of the expenditures that have been made over the past 10 years or 12 years, a lot of those are kind of frivolous and exuberant. They are I don't want to say exuberant. What's the word? Exorbitant, a little higher than necessary. And I think everybody needs to trim the fat all the way across. And unfortunately, our opponents often use social services and the welfare issues as their standing ground for attacking us with the cuts.
couple of issues emerging as kind of the marquee issues of election cycle 2012. At least that's what I've been able to determine. I think you probably will agree. Jobs and education. Everybody's
exactly.
talking about those two issues. Let's begin with jobs. How are we going to bring new jobs into Arizona?
Well, they've already begun to do that. Again, as I said, Arizona has grown not only from 8th to 5th now, but a year ago we were down around the 30s. So from 30th, 32nd to 8th, now to 5th. And they've done that by reducing taxes on the small businesses and the big businesses. So when they come to Arizona, they can reduce their costs and actually create profits. And then therefore with the profits, they can hire more people. If you hear a politician or a government agency say they're going to create a job, the only job that they're going to create is going to be a government job. And unfortunately, the only way to pay for government jobs is through taxation. And that means taking money from other hardworking people to create something that's coming out of the pot.
Speaking of taxes, there will be the 1 cent, most likely will be on the ballot, the 1 cent sales tax for education. This will be rather than let this sunset in 2013, this would extend that a dedicated source, a 1 cent sales tax for educational issues. Your opinion on that, Todd Klotfelter?
Bill, I disagree with maintaining it unless they can confirm that the money being spent will actually have effect on the education programs. The new scores have come out, and the education advancement based on the money that's spent really is of no significance. So theoretically, you keep throwing money into a hole that's going nowhere. I'm not opposed to spending money or even increasing money that's being spent on education, provided that it can be identified where it's going exactly, how it's being spent, and how it's going to improve the situation.
So throwing more money at education, in your opinion, is not going to equate to better education.
That's exactly right. I don't think money is the answer. I think there's other issues at hand. There's other questions that need to be asked. And I think there's money that's there that just need to be reapportioned into different areas. For example, I heard that TUSD, as of this year or early next, will actually spend 50% of their revenues on administrative costs, and only 50% of it will make it to the class. Classroom. Where's the money going?
Top heavy with administration.
In my opinion, yes.
How about the environment, Rosemont Mine?
Well, that's
are you on board with that, with the mine or not?
I have selfish reasons for wanting the mine here. Always any kind of industry is going to create revenue and jobs in the community, and that's always a good thing. I know that there's question over the environmental impact, and I'm not really well-versed in how that's taking effect. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, we don't really have a say in that matter. However, again, from my selfish standards, is my son works for a company that contracts with the mines, and he's actually had to move away from Tucson because of the job situation with his company. If they start digging at Rosemont, his company has contracted with them, and he'll be able to move back home, and I can have my family closer to my home.
So there's a personal interest there.
Personal interest in Rosemont Mine.
But as far as a state legislative interest, you would not have a direct say being a state lawmaker. But you could have a direct say over the future of Rio Nuevo. That could come up at the next legislative session, whether or not to continue with the Rio Nuevo district or to pull the plug.
Right.
What do you think about downtown redevelopment?
I have seen a lot of downtown redevelopments in some of my travels, and some of them are very successful and some of them are not very successful. And I'm not convinced that a downtown revitalization would benefit Tucson at this time. Maybe down the road, the economy improves. We really have to get some job creation going and get the businesses built back up. We have too many businesses failing, and they need to come back first. If the city could identify the money that's been spent properly, then yeah, we could continue once there's an identified direction. But right now, there's still too much up in the air as to what has happened to the funding. Where is it? Where's it gone, and how has it been spent?
Are you and Representative Vogt going to run as a team in the general election?
We are working together on some of our efforts, but we are still individuals. And truthfully, Ted and I will differ on some opinions here and there, and that's good. That's what it's all about. And from the standpoint of being Republicans and conservative, we'll be teaming up in that regard. But on some of the social issues, I think we'll differ.
How are you going to frame this campaign? Are you doing a lot of door-to-door and going to do mailing, or what are you going to do?
We've got a combination of campaign efforts going forward now. Of course, there'll be mailing. There's always mailing. And, of course, a lot of our supporters will be going door-to-door and handing out literature. And there's some other avenues as well that we'll be doing. We'll be holding events. We're already holding events, but some of them will be a little more involved and maybe a little more citywide to invite the people out, all the people. You know, I love Arizona and I love Southern Arizona and I love the people of Southern Arizona. And I know Gabby Mercer was here just a moment ago, and one of the things I truly embrace that I've always loved since I was a kid is the Hispanic culture, mm-hmm. especially in Southern Arizona. You know, they're good, honest, hardworking people, and they play a viable role in Arizona's economy. And I want to invite everybody out to participate in our events.
Todd, we got to run. Todd Clodfelter, where can folks get more information about your campaign?
I have a website, of course, and mm-hmm. it is www.tc4, that's the number 4az.com. That's tc4az.com. My phone number is on there, and if you'd like to call me and talk to me, I'm more than happy to talk to anybody anytime.
Thank you so much, Todd. Good luck to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill, for having me.
All those new laws, 363 of them taking effect today. You need an attorney to interpret all of them. We've got one. Don Luce, he's next on the Buckmaster Show.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended Custom Foot Orthotics, created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food.
Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook. Coming up on 12:50 on this Thursday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show, this portion of the program is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido, a true continuing care retirement community. Check out their fine website. It's SplendidoTucson.com. Well, starting today, Arizona has a whole lot of new laws. In fact, 363 of them that were signed into law by Governor Jan Brewer as a result of this year's legislative session. We are joined in studio with attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown & Associates, whose offices are in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101. This is a handbook for non-lawyers. The revised edition is out now. And Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. This is one occasion where I'm really glad that I have an attorney on the contributors list on a day when you have 363 new laws.
Bill, great to be back. You're right. Today is the day. New laws take effect 90 days after legislature
today.
Recesses, and the legislature recessed 91 days ago. So today is the day that the new laws all take effect, except for the ones that the courts say don't take effect.
Do you know what some of those might be? Or?
Well, I know one. The Ninth Circuit has said that the new law restricting abortions is not going to take effect. That was slated to take effect today with the other laws, but just yesterday the justices up in San Francisco said no. They're concerned that Arizona's new abortion law, which was signed into law by Governor Jan Brewer a couple of months ago, runs afoul of the mandates in Roe versus Wade, which, of course, is the 1973 monumental Supreme Court decision on the woman's right to abortion involving privacy and the right to make decisions concerning one's own body.
Where does this thing go from here? This could go to the U.S. Supreme Court, huh?
It could. Now, this law has had a short but yet interesting history. It was very controversial in the legislature. It was signed by Governor Jan Brewer and was slated to take effect today. Just a couple of days ago, a U.S. district judge in Phoenix said it's constitutional, meaning that he was not going to block it from taking effect. The opponents of the law immediately filed an appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and yesterday the Court of Appeals said no. We don't find that it's necessarily constitutional, and we are not going to allow it to take effect.
This upholds, Don Luce, the validity of an Arizona law designed to sharply limit abortions beyond 20 weeks of pregnancy. Is that what we're talking about here?
Exactly. Now, in Roe versus Wade and the cases that followed it, the Supreme Court basically said that the Constitution grants women the right of privacy, which basically means the right to make decisions concerning reproduction, child rearing, childbirth, and those sort of things. But the woman's right sort of stops when you get to the period of viability of the fetus. In other words, now we have other rights to think about. But what the Supreme Court basically said was a state, if it's going to prohibit abortion, can only do so until the fetus becomes viable. And that's generally thought to be between 22 and 24 weeks. This new law, which the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said is not going to take effect, by some measures, moved the clock back to 18 weeks, and how it did that was by starting the counting at the day of the woman's last menstrual cycle, which in many cases is 2 weeks before conception. So you would have those 2 weeks in the counting process. And in any event, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said no. We think that we've got an issue here that we need to take a serious look at, and Arizona may have overstepped the constitutional bounds on this one.
Getting back to these 360-some laws taking effect starting today, kids in the age group who are smaller than, I guess at least 5 years old, and if they're smaller than 4'9", they'll have to ride in a specially designed booster seat or risk a $50 fine for the driver.
This is a new law, and this is interesting, Bill. These 363 laws, they run the gamut. We have everything from booster seats to medical marijuana. But anyway, starting with the booster seats, if you have a child who's not yet 8 years old and smaller than 4'9", that child will have to ride in a specially designed booster seat, or you will get fined $50. That is now a law.
Looking through the list, what else grabs your attention?
Well, there's a whole bunch of modification to the tort laws. One is there's a limitation now on punitive damages for some manufacturers of products that are defective. Punitive damages historically have been awarded in cases where the jury wants to punish somebody for doing wrong or doing something very wrong. And our legislature has said that in certain cases, we're no longer going to allow that in the area of products liability specifically. So that's a pretty major change, although punitive damages are only awarded in about 3% of all cases. Sometimes they're fairly significant. The legislature also extended the Medical Marijuana Act to prohibit possession on college and university campuses. Now, this is kind of an interesting one because the voter mandate, which was on the ballot in November of 2010, did not prohibit the possession on college, university, and campuses. It prohibited possession in public schools, but that was at the high school level and below. And so what the legislature says or said was, well, we're going to include colleges and universities in terms of the prohibition areas. The reason that's interesting is because the Arizona Constitution has a specific provision that says lawmakers may not alter voter-approved laws except to further their purpose. So this is another law that may find its way to the courts. Opponents of this may very well say, well, the voters approved the Medical Marijuana Act, and now the legislature is voting to essentially restrict it or change it in a way that doesn't further its purpose.
Don Luce is with us, attorney here in Tucson and Phoenix, and Don comes on the program every month to talk about legal issues, and today is a great day to have him because we're talking about all the new laws. Is that pretty typical, that many bills, 360-some? Is that kind of a typical year that—
It's not atypical. It's a high number, to be sure.
I mean, you're going to have to put out another revised edition of Arizona Laws 101. I mean, you just got the new second edition out. You're going to have to start working on the third edition.
Well, what I found, quite honestly, was that we pass hundreds of laws every year in Arizona, and a lot of these laws come in without a lot of fanfare, but they're very significant. And, this list that we're talking about today as I said, covers a broad spectrum. Some of these are fairly significant, and some of these are just fairly interesting on their face. There's another new law that took effect that will allow school districts to offer, as an elective course, the study of the Bible.
Yeah, I found that one really interesting, and it has to be for literary purposes, I guess, because of the separation of church and state, correct?
Exactly. But the separation of church and state under the First Amendment, in many cases, serves as a chilling effect in having schools teach anything about or from the Bible. And yet under this new law, school districts in Arizona will be allowed to essentially have Bible study classes as electives.
pay hike for Arizona officials has been rejected. No pay hike for our top officials.
No, and this is a perennial issue. It appears on almost every ballot as an initiative. It routinely is defeated, much to my surprise. Legislators in our state make $24,000.
Yeah, it's low.
It's very low.
Yeah.
The governor makes $95,000. The Supreme Court Chief Justice makes $160,000.
But compare that to other states, very low.
Arizona has very low pay rates, and the voters routinely reject any increases, and the governor is probably not going to impose her will against that.
Don Luce, thank you very much. The new book, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, is out now. The second revised edition available at all the bookstores and Amazon.com. Don,
thanks,
good
Bill.
To see you. The bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by, and Don's taking a nice swig of it right now, Culligan Water. It simply tastes better, and we thank Culligan for providing bottled water to the Buckmaster Show. And that is going to do it for our Thursday edition. We have Councilman Steve Kasachek tomorrow for our Friday Focus interview. Another jam-packed day coming your way tomorrow at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.